Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower clear.
Roger.
Well, greetings, my friends from all over the world. This solar system, this galaxy, this universe, the master universe, and all beings in all dimensions. Welcome to ET First Contact Radio. I do have a very special, intriguing guest tonight. She is a writer, a visionary, an author, and a motivational speaker. Her website is dianacollins.com. And Diana Collins is an original thinker, and is one of the first and foremost thought leaders of our time. She consults with executives in the world's leading corporations, as well as enterprising entrepreneurs, celebrities, students, and evolutionaries in the new system of thinking she created, Quantum Think. Her life is dedicated to people living spirited, joyful, masterful lives through leaps in awareness and the expansion of their relationship to reality. She is a master of translating ancient knowledge into modern quantum terms that will provide a practical and transformative platform for the way we conduct our business and personal affairs. Diane has been interviewed on over 100 radio and TV shows, a popular returning guest. Do you quantum think? The new thinking that will rock your world, by Diana Collins. Mrs. Collins is an important thought leader of our time. Her workshops and consulting sessions are widely sought after by a clientele that includes politicians, celebrities, and CEOs alike. This ambitious book is the culmination of her life's work, and it unveils the powerful secrets she has uncovered in the process. These secrets bridge the gap between ancient wisdom and modern science to reveal a power that exists in each of us, if only we learn how to access its source. The key to this access is a concept she calls quantum think, which explains that our thinking is not free, but is conditioned by our worldview. Only with this knowledge are we able to pursue the lives that we truly desire. This book is much more than a self-help book, and Diane Collins is more than just simply the latest motivational speaker. Do you quantum think? A search that the human race is at a critical juncture in its development and is our collective responsibility to evolve our thought process or face the consequences. Ms. Collins explains that our thinking was not evolved past an industrial age paradigm rooted in the mechanical worldview. Einstein's relativity and the quantum physics of the 20th century indicated a process of dismantling this archaic model. Just as quantum physics redefined the physical world, the aim of quantum thinking is to reinvent perception in a way that is better suited for the shifting realities of our modern times. The message, "Do you quantum think?" is divided among 21 quantum think distinctions, which blend scientific knowledge, spiritual wisdom, and current philosophy into a practical modern approach that will attune the readers to the essence of our time and the ability to think in sync with it. Some important concepts that the readers will draw from Do You Quantum Think are the power of intent to manifest results in observer-created reality, the disciplined use of intuition as our access to the non-local field of infinite intelligence, listening as a dimension of being rather than a skill, awareness to notice and interrupt limited thinking patterns and move beyond them, how mind generates emotion and how to use this dynamic energy to our advantage. Diane Collins contact information. Her website is dianecollins.com, and Diane with double N and double L in Collins. So, Diane, I want to heartfully welcome you to the program.
Thank you so much, Martin. And I am just delighted to be with you and everyone with us in this conversation. And I love, you know, I just started listening to your show, and I have to say, I love that opening, the sounds, the music, because that just shows how we live in a resonant, energetic universe, because that connects you immediately way, way, way far out. And, you know, I love the way you say, to all the dimensions. Mm-hmm. So it's great because you're really speaking from the widest context that we know of today anyway. And that really puts a great perspective on all the conversations with your guests. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for being here, Diane. And I can say that we are all connected and in all dimensions, in all realities. And by the way, the music that I made this intro from is called Mythical Forest.
Beautiful.
And it's done by a gentleman from Romania. And he will be next week my guest on this same radio station on BBC.
That's great. So that was just now intuition working. Because let's say you come into a conversation, right, in quantum think system of thinking, which is based in the expanded new world view that is being shown to be the more accurate and up-to-date knowledge, according to cutting-edge quantum science, for short, and as we know, is merging again with universal spiritual wisdom common to all mastery traditions. But what I was going to say is that the intuitive, and so I call this in quantum thing being in one conversation. Mm-hmm. And being in one conversation, it's like another octave of the very fundamental principle of reality, which is holistic and holographic. As you say, we're all interconnected, we're connected to everything, we're in a constant subtle energy exchange. And the thing about it is that, so what my work in quantum, how do we live this? Because there's so much knowledge. There's so much, you know, channeled wisdom, wisdom that's coming from many other dimensions that I know you're aware of, and so am I. And just, you know, each one of us being a unique channel of wisdom that comes through us when we can get clear enough in our own energetic field of ourselves, our personal resonant field, to be able to connect in to the infinite intelligence and really connect into those, let's say, the grid lines that we came in with this soul incarnation. But just going back to how I talked about the music, it's that, so I could have, you know, we're being in one conversation. Let me say one other thing about it before the music, that how it's a way of looking at living from these principles rather than looking at them from an undifferentiated, or sometimes we're quantum thinking, sometimes we're old worldview, mechanical thinking, without even realizing it. So it's to bring this into our awareness. So the being in one conversation is a higher octave of the principle that it's a universe of whole systems. So what is a conversation? It's the way that we've been conditioned by the industrial age, which was a mechanical age called reductionistic. You know, the universe as a machine, reduce it to its constituent parts, see how they work together in cause and effect, press on this and that moves, and then we'll figure out how to predict and control nature. And maybe we needed that at that point of evolution of humanity in that time frame of the 17th century. But meanwhile, what I look at is how did that condition, silently condition our thinking. So when we tend to think in parts, and you think of it as a conversation, as someone is speaking and someone is listening, but from a quantum thinking perspective, a conversation is a field, and it's a unified field. And so let's say in this conversation, because of the format of the show, obviously, you and I are speaking, and everyone with us is listening. But the listening and the listening is just as important part of the conversation, important whole, I should say, is just as significant. So that's what I'm aware of when I'm in a conversation with you right now, is that I'm aware of everyone listening with us in the conversation, bringing your awareness and your intent to this conversation to have something open up for all of us, and that this awareness of one another is what enables us to be in the actual experiential knowing of our interconnectedness and the influence that each of our consciousnesses actually has on one another and on, obviously, on ourselves and our lives and the collective at large. But I don't know, that just came pouring through. So there it was. But I wanted to say, so sometimes you don't realize the intuition is the human access. It's like an access point into the non-local mind field. What does non-local mean? It means the mind is not located in the ordinary sense of an object in a space, time, matter, dimension. And therefore, we can connect in anywhere. I say the mind can go anywhere because it's not located anywhere. It's therefore everywhere, but it doesn't actually go. I don't think, I think of it this way. It doesn't actually travel. It connects. It's like the internet. Where is the internet? It depends where you connect. So what I connected into, and that was intuitive because there was something I was feeling. I didn't even feel it. I have the type, you know, there's different types of intuition. Mine is claircognizance. Someone taught me the other day, you know, there's clairaudience, which is clair, you know, hearing, there's the seeing, there's the, there is the, you know, clairvoyant is the intuition that in psychic ability that works. And you see it, you see a visual, You can hear the words. You can get a feeling clairsentient. And I have the claircognizance, which is just the clear knowing. And the interesting thing about the clear knowing is because you're not feeling it, you're not hearing it. You know, we all have all of it. But you're just, it's something I went my whole life, Martin, saying, I don't know how I know this. I just know it. But then all of a sudden, I'll just come out with something. I want to know if this happens for you, too. You just come out with something like that. And then, oh, there you go. You're having that musical artist on your show next. So that's really how to make these non-local mind connections. See, when I hear that, I don't go, oh, that's a coincidence. I know that that had to do with my intent in connecting with you and connecting with your show and everyone who is, you know, are avid listeners of your show. So that's how it works. Anyway, do you find that where, how does your intuition work for you?
I can just say that Esoteric Golden Spirit just came online. The guy you were just talking about, the musician, he just came online on Skype, so there's even more synchronicity in this.
That's great. What's his name?
Diane, that the whole concept of non-locality first came to my my awareness in 1991 when I was at my grandparents. We were celebrating Christmas. And I was with my cousin, because I was 14 years old, and I was not allowed to smoke, of course. But I went up to an apartment block in the neighborhood, and it was very cold. So my cousin and I started to light up a cigarette. We rolled a cigarette, we lit it up. And I was saying, well, imagine that we are sitting here, but beings from other dimensions are with us, you know. And they can hear into our conversation. And we were getting the chills on our arms, you know. And that concept has intrigued me all of my life. Now, in 2003 or 4, yes, 2004, I first saw the documentary, What the Bleep Do We Know? And you are aware of this documentary, of course.
Of course.
And there I heard the term non-locality, where you were speaking about. Because in the non-local universe, in the higher dimensions, you can call it the world of spirits or the heavens or whatever. But it's just pure energy. And as you say, I completely agree with you. You just tune into the right being or frequency or intelligence or consciousness. And the nature of non-locality is that communication is always possible. You see?
That's right. You mean communication in any dimension.
Yes, communication in any dimension.
Uh-huh. And I was even in this dimension where, well, for example, before I come on the show with you, right? And by now, I've been on almost really 400 shows. And I heard in my bio or somewhere, it still says 100, but I like to connect in with you. So while I was getting, that's part of how I prepare to be with you, is I connect in through that, you know, I call it living fully dimensionally, because it's energetic, it's spiritual, it's virtual of consciousness, it's all of the above. And soul. And it's of the soul as well. So I consciously create the intent that you and I are connected. And sometimes I get an image. And today I did get an image. Sometimes I create my own image, Martin, like just it's sort of, you know, it's my way of connecting. And I see you have love on the Skype screen. But I connect. Sometimes I use the image of a translucent heart that is of every color and eventually of, you know, the most brilliant divine light. And I see it it's not two-dimensional. It's more, I can't explain it, but it's even more than three-dimensional. But I see us enveloped in it, and I see us enveloped in it with the listening, the audience as well. But today, when I tuned in to you, because you were talking about non-locality, and so for me, the show starts before we're... before we're here talking, right? Before the engineer calls us. But what I had to tell you this, because when I connected into you astrally, let's say, I had this image that was so interesting, because instead of my own heart, you know, that I project, I saw this a geometric, like a Merkaba. You know what that is? That I don't know how to explain it, but this...
The Merkaba is also called the star tetrahedron, or the Kepler star.
Exactly. I saw that, and I saw us there sort of like on... you know, sort of like an entrance to it, and then it opened, and then it was like pure, just unbounded spatial, I mean, not spatial, but light, unbounded. Anyway, so I had to share that image with you, because I thought, oh, this is going to be an interesting show. This is going to be an interesting conversation.
That's beautiful. Yes. Well, you know, that's a beautiful description. And I just want to ask you, Diane, if you are aware of the term metacognition, when you think about your thinking, because I've been working with Professor Feuerstein in Israel back in 2002 and 3 and 5 and 6, where I was helping mentally disabled youngsters and to encourage them and help them in their thinking process. He passed away last year, Professor Reuven Feuerstein. He was a very special, close friend of me. But when you think about your thinking, because I read in your bio that you are a master in quantum thinking. Now, quantum thinking even transcends this theory and applied practices of Professor Feuerstein, because you are using the spiritual component. But when you think about your thinking and master your thinking, then you, as a human being, you can find your full potential and do much more. But what is your idea about metacognition, and how do you apply it in your in the way that you help people?
Okay, I would love to talk about that. But you said, how? What is my idea about, I missed the next word, about what?
Metacognition. So, cognition
meta,
is...
Oh, metacognition. Is that what you said? Metacognition.
That's what I said, okay. Yes.
Well, one thing that I realize that I call my revelation is that, like everything in the universe, thinking is a system. Everything is a system. It's a universe of systems interpenetrating one another. So when I was growing up and I started to study mind science and, you know, all the masters said it, the Buddha said all that you are is a result of what you have thought. Aristotle said it. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. The Upanishads say it. What you think is what you become. And it makes sense, because you realize whatever you have your awareness on, your attention on, that is your reality in that moment. And so if you habitually hold that, that at some point it manifests in some way, E equals MC squared, that you, the more you energize something, the more mass you add to it. So I thought, well, if all you had to do was change your thought to change your life, to change the world, then why does it, you know, why does it still look like it does? And that's when I made this discovery through what sparked it for me is I met Dr. Fred Alan Wolf, who was in that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? And he's also in The Secret, and he's a good friend, and I call him my mentor in quantum thinking, and he wrote the foreword to my book, Do You Quantum Think? And he's a theoretical physicist. He calls himself other things, too, an alchemist. But anyway, he was showing me how scientists make discoveries. And when they make a new discovery, they create new language for it, to name it. And then eventually that language, that meaning, that word comes into our language and into our thinking, eventually. So the idea of a quantum leap, which is something I use in my book because everybody is familiar with that, that in the father of quantum mechanics, Max Planck, he discovered that energy does not move in a smooth, continuous way, but that it bursts in leaps, in packets of energy that he called quanta, hence the term quantum. So the quantum, literally in some way, I mean, I'm not a scientist, but just saying what I've studied and know a little bit about it, that it really means an amount, and it's amount. It's this was the smallest unit of measurable energy, and so it has this kind of, you know, in and out, popping in and out existence, changing spins and orbits and whatever. So, what does that mean? It means that this word quantum leap became known to mean that something that happens, an event that happens, a shift that happens, that is discontinuous with the past. So it's a sudden shift, and that there's no traceable pathway how it got there. Because again, this comes from the science, which the quantum leap means that a quantum changed its spin, changed its orbit, and there was no way of tracing how it got from point A to point B. It's an instantaneous shift in state. So now, again, my work is not about science. It's about how these discoveries of science shape the way we think and how we can use this proactively so that we can update our thinking. So when I was talking with Fred, we were actually working on a project years ago, and he was talking to me about this. And then later when I got home, I started thinking, well, you know, it's not just one term at a time. Okay, so in my book, I say, you couldn't even think about a quantum leap before 1927 when it came into the English language anyway. I say, okay, maybe you're too young for that. That's my joke. But you get the drift. So the discoveries of science not only shape what we think, it shapes what we're even able to think. And that was the example. So my revelation, Martin, was that it's not one term at a time, one word, one discovery. It's a whole system. And so when you look at this paradigm shift in science that started with Einstein and, you know, at the beginning of the 20th century, where he changed the whole way we relate to the nature of reality by seeing it, energy and mass, and, you know, all the other things, I don't really know everything he saw, but at least that they're controvertible. And you realize there was this literal quantum leap in the paradigm of science, where the old, what I lovingly called the old worldview, the industrial age worldview, which was literally called the classical mechanical worldview. It gave, you know, universe as machine, as I said, gave rise to what? the industrial age, the age of machines. And one of the most important things to know about it is that the scientists of that time actually declared only physical matter is real. Now, we know the physical is one dimension of many. I distinguish seven in my book: physical, energetic, spiritual, virtual of the mind, esoteric of the soul, cosmic of the operating principles, I'm leaving one out, and divine, which is the ultimate mystery responsible for all of it. But anyway, you look at this, and we know life is multidimensional, but you think, well, how did that shape our thinking as a humanity? Is that if you're looking, everything is oriented in our society around the ordinary five senses. Now, we know there's spirit, we know there's soul, we know there's God, or however you relate to that, and yet the orientation, our institutions, I like to use the educational institution as an example, that at least in the Western world that I know of education, where you're not studying the faculties of mind, the faculties of consciousness, which are what I consider the five natural faculties: intent, intuition, subtle energy, resonance, and meditation, which is a natural faculty of mind, not just a practice, an important practice. So when you realize, well, what are we studying in school? The physical. Physical matter is real. The industrial age in educational system. And you're studying the brain. Maybe you're studying the brain connections. Of course, they did know about energy as the scientists progressed. But my point being that we are, even those of us who are born on a conscious path, born with the experience of our intergalactic, interdimensional knowing, that we're still very much influenced by that old world view, which taught us what? Silently. It's not like we said, oh, let me learn about this from the old world view. It taught us linear thinking. You know, our lives go in a step by step. If you look at matter, translate that word as circumstances, that, oh, I have to get the circumstances lined up in my life before I can do something. It's when you look in the physical, we look different. We look separate. It's a conceptual reality. That mentation, so that when people look at the earth, if you're in that old worldview thinking, you're not realizing, wait a minute, I'm the organism of which the host, the living Gaia, is the host of my life. I better take care of it. Just as we have many organisms on our own individual human body that live off of us, we're living off the earth. And so how have we collectively treated it, continue to, so poorly, because the humanity has been stuck in that old frame of mind, in that conceptual separation consciousness. So you asked me about how do we think about thinking. That's how I think about thinking. And the good news is we can shift this instantly. In fact, we're doing it as I'm distinguishing it, because this is how quantum thinking is learned. The art of distinguishing is one of the principles. A new worldview of learning, to bring something into your awareness in such a way that you have an instantaneous shift, a quantum leap style, and all of a sudden, wow, I'm thinking in a system, and I can make it. And we don't give up the old worldview thinking taught us to be analytical. You know, it was observe the data in the physical world, collect the data, analyze the data, categorize the data, and then make conclusions about it that you proceed to live from as though it's the absolute truth. Now, that's where we got stuck in our thinking, because you start to think, oh, the government is this way. Oh, the politics are this way. Oh, my husband is this way. My girlfriend is that way. And from a quantum worldview, everything is energy in flux, constantly shifting and changing, informed by intelligence. And we, as human beings, get to be, by divine birthright, the focal point where we can shift the energy, we can move the energy, we can magnetize the energy with our own consciousness, with our own thinking. So when you look at this and you think, wow, look at that. I can make a distinction in what's shaping my thinking right now, so that if I'm in a situation in my life that I'm feeling stuck, well, you make that leap. It's a literal quantum leap in consciousness where you're looking from the quantum principles rather than at them from your old, more limited. If, you know, I'm saying sometimes we're limited, sometimes we're not. But to bring this into your awareness, which is what my book and my work is all about, so that you're connecting to these principles that operate throughout the universe and therefore within you and me, so that we can start to think from that. We can start to realize, well, wait a minute, I'm not stuck thinking of myself that, you know, I have this dream or this passion of something I want to do next in life, that I'm feeling the pulse of it, that much like my soul is tugging at me to do something new. And yet you have this idea about yourself, a thought about yourself that you've made like the truth, like, oh, but I could never do it because I don't have the right education or I don't have this or that. And what I'm here to say is that we can interrupt those automatic and mechanical type thoughts. I say blame it on the industrial age worldview. It's not personal. It's cultural, that we are at this time where we're in a quantum leap in consciousness for humanity. And so for just, I know I'm talking a long time. I want to hear what you think about this, but what happens is when you shift the context of your thinking as a system, it's like a vortex. So you don't have to sit and monitor every thought. Was that an old world, a new world? Am I mechanical? Am I, you know, quantum? What am I? Because when you start to look from the system, and it's by virtue of an intent for a quantum leap in consciousness, that's how do you get there? It's a literal quantum leap. It's a shift that you're in a vortex. So it's like if you went into any vortex, it takes you with it. So you have some free will in that vortex. But now it's like you're bathed in it. So it's like carrying you with it. And that's how it works. And I just, one other, just to give it real life example, is that when I met my husband, Alan Collins, who's my partner in life, in business and everything, master quantum thing coach himself. And when I met him many years ago, and I saw that he was a masterful coach. Now, he's from London. He's a British citizen still, living in the United States with me. But anyway, and so he went to trade school in England. And he didn't go to university, and he doesn't have that type of academic education. But when I met him, I saw his natural talent. And I said to him, you know, you could be coaching, you know, leaders in corporations and business. And he looked at me like I was crazy, you know, because he had this thought about himself, like some kind of, quote, truth, right? Or absolute reality that, well, wait a minute, I don't have the right education for it. I don't have the right, you know, I don't have the right credentials or what it takes, and why are they going to listen to me? Well, the bottom line is, those are the thoughts, Martin, that we don't have to be stuck with. And what happened? And today, my husband does coach and consult presidents, senior vice presidents, CEOs of major corporations and entrepreneurial businesses, and has been doing it for quite a number of years, and is highly successful because this is his gift. So I think it's like that. What do I think about thinking? Is that we have to get a conscious relationship with two aspects: our system of thinking and our own individual thoughts that come in from the surrounding invisible field, the mind field. Because we're hearing from spirit, but we're also picking up thoughts that aren't even our own. And when we can make a distinction between a thought that you choose consciously, that you originate, and a thought that's just visiting, I say, let it fly by like a bird past your window. You don't, just because you have a thought, you don't have to believe it, think it's the truth, own it in any way, identify with it, even if you have 20 years of evidence. No, but they are that way. This is what it means, conscious living. Quantum thinking is awakened thinking beyond the limits of any conditioning, with the purpose of living your the highest nature and the most desirable life for you and others. So does that make sense, thinking about thinking that way?
It completely does, Diane. And I just want to ask you, if you can give the listeners some tools, how they can use their full potential in their thinking and in their beingness, and in their daily lives, how they can optimize their thinking and their conscious thoughts, and what are the prerequisites for a successful life?
Well, a prerequisite for a successful life is you're born a human being on this earth plane. That's all you need, right? Because each one of us has been born with the power to create. Now, we've been divinely bestowed with the power to create. What creates? Mind, okay? That's the big paradigm shift in science, where the quantum scientists, you know, the old world view said, oh, it's like a machine. But the new world view, they said, oh, wait a minute. The universe is more like a giant mind, okay? So this gives us total flexibility. Now, I'm not saying we don't have circumstances. We do. And we can't control all the circumstances that confront us in life. However, we always can have mastery over, we have complete 100% sovereignty over how we choose to be related to those circumstances. And it's in that relationship where our power lies. And I'm going to give a real quantum think exercise, because you asked for the tool, that everyone can use this, it can shift your whole life if you do it. Anyway, so this is, let me just think the best way of saying this. So what I'm saying is that every one of us has the capability to connect to these faculties of mind. And the dynamic of creation, the active dynamic of creation that we've been endowed with by human birth, is our intent. Now, people I make a distinction between intent and intention. And this is where people can get a little bit mixed up and say, well, I created my intention, but it didn't happen. And Because think of intention as a future goal, an actual, some course of action that leads to an end result, like something measurable. Whereas intent as a dynamic that is shaping, okay, it's an activating force. It's more shamanic in nature. So intent, the directed attention of your awareness, your energy, your consciousness, because it's all of that, all of the above simultaneously, activates your own resonant field. And I'll give you examples of how to create a proper statement of intent. So your energy, what a statement of intent is said in the present tense as if it already is, because two things from a quantum worldview. One very important thing to know is there is no absolute reality other than may, what you may think of as eternal God, in, you know, however you think of that. But for everyday life, the nature of reality is it's always shifting and changing. And we know under a high-powered microscope, there isn't anything there. I mean, all the great scientists have said it. Max Planck said there is no matter as such, that mind is the matrix of everything. And all many of the leading-edge scientists say that in various ways. Because when you look under there, there's mostly empty space. So, you know, some people say it's one big hologram projection, but maybe it is. But the point is that intent is the dynamic that we can use. So you say it in, I call it the omnipresent tense. So here's the difference between an intention and an intent. So let's say that you wanted to make $1 million in your business this year. And you, that would be an intention, is that my goal, my intention is to make, earn, you know, $1 million in revenue in my business this year. Well, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, provided that it has some grounding in reality for you. But here would be, how would you create a financial resonance that would start to attract to you opportunities that would shift the resonant field of your relationship with your financial status? I would say it this way, that I am delighted about how my financial status is growing and unfolding daily. So you see, Martin, when you say that, it's not an end result. You're saying it as if it already is. When a statement of intent is not based in evidence, it's based in quantum thinking, in the quantum worldview, that if there is no absolute reality, then what's shaping reality? The context that you choose to live from. It's as simple as, is the glass half empty or is the glass half full? Or it's a choice, it's a context, and a statement of intent that we can create in an unlimited fashion. A statement of intent will shift your resonance. It'll shift your energetic resonance. And it therefore shifts the field and the frequency range of what you'll attract. So we say in our business, intent will attract to it not one end result, but many results consistent with your intent. So it's like planting a seed. If you plant a seed, and then the active dynamic of creation that we've been born with, the power to use our intent, not because it's true or false, but because you're choosing to live from that because you know it shifts your resonance. So is this clear so far? Because there's another part of it. Just checking with you.
This is a beautiful way of seeing business and success. Yes.
Okay, yeah, great. Go ahead.
I'm very happy with this information, and I think it's very useful for the listeners. Now, we have only 2 minutes left before we have to sign out. Diane, can you tell how people can reach you and how they can find your website and your books, where they can purchase your books if they want to learn more about everything you just said?
Yes, thank you for letting me share this. My website is dianecollins.com. I'll spell it. It's Diane with two N's, very important. There's another one with one N. That's not me. But it's DianeCollins.com. DianeCollins.com. And on my website, there is a lot of free audio. There's a few videos. You'll see a lot of my radio shows and video interviews are on there. And you'll see all the information about my book, Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World. It's in hardcover and it's in all ebook editions, digital. So you can get it anywhere online or you can order it in your bookstore, depending on where you live. I have seen people buying it all over the world. And so, yes, I invite you to, I call it a friend for life because it's something you use. It's something you can use intuitively. You can read it straight through or you can open it anywhere and you'll get a message that connects to your own intent. And it's in two parts. Part one, wake up. Why should we quantum think? You know, what's the situation in the world? And all this I've been saying about new worldview, old worldview, making that paradigm shift. And there are chapters on what is wisdom, what is mastery, what is the method of quantum thinking. And then part two is, hey, guess what? You can quantum think. Here's the system. So it's principles and practices for the mind and awareness. You do it just in the course of your day. Most of it is just like that. It's an awareness. And so that's my book. There's also on Amazon.com, at least on the U.S. Amazon, Quantum Think Audio Coach, which are the 10 core distinctions in audio. People who like to, that's a little easier maybe for you to listen. And definitely do sign up for my mailing list on my website, DianeCollins.com, because you'll get a link to an article that is very, very clear. Here's old worldview and new worldview thinking, how to apply that to your business specifically. And also, you will find my blog. I have a lot of blogs on the Huffington Post. And the other reason to sign up for my email list, I send rarely. I should send out more. But because I'm going to be doing some new things very soon, and I will definitely keep you informed as to new opportunities that open up when we do some teleconference coaching programs and things like that. So thanks for letting me share that. Oh, and we have a LinkedIn group too that you'll see there, Quantum Thinkers. It's open to everybody. So, but the best thing, go to the website. It's all there.
DianeCollins.com. Now, Diana, I want to thank you heartfully for being here. You have enlightened me, and I'm sure you have enlightened all the listeners who are listening from all over the world. And just to mention to the listeners, I have great news. This Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, David Boyle again on Finding Voices Radio. And next week on this station, BBS Radio Station 1, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, I will have my distinguished guest, Alkesh, who has contact with the Syrians, and he is going to speak about his new projects and what awaits us in the near future regarding first contact. So thank you, Diane, and I wish you well, and we'll stay in contact, and I will let you know when this will be posted on YouTube so that you can mount it into your website.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Martin, and everyone. All the best and lots of love.
Lots of love. Love and light and namaste.